everybody. Welcome to the newest installment of the DCP Internship Podcast. My name is Michaela. It is currently December 18th, 2019, and I am officially less than a month away from my arrival date for my Disneyland college program. I have a lot to talk about today. Some good things, some not so good things, some very not so good things. And I guess I'll just get to it. I haven't gotten a lot of emails since I last talked to you. I ended up finishing all of that onboarding paperwork that I got from an email a couple of weeks ago. And it was really tedious and horrible. And a lot of it, the last part of it, which I wasn't expecting, was about tax information and past earnings and all that kind of garbage, so they know how much to take away from you while you're working with them. And that wasn't very fun to calculate. I did it. Did I do it correctly? I'm not sure, but I signed it and said that I did, so let's hope that I did, because I guess they could come after me for tax fraud if I accidentally did it wrong. But I will say that I did it to the best of my ability, and that's about all I can say. So I don't know much about if I did that right or not, but I did it, and it's in, because I got an email, a week or so ago about me not completing it, and there was a deadline of the 12th of December, and so I had to do it no matter what, and it was before I got home after work ended, so I couldn't ask my parents for help, and there you go, I just did it. So I did receive another email on the 12th, not about the onboarding information, but just about general arrival information. They sent an email 2 months before, and then they sent another email 1 month before my arrival date, so you can definitely be expecting those. They're very broad. There are a couple things that they highlighted that I'm going to go into. They have three bullet points. Okay, I arrived for my program, now what should I expect? How does getting paid work while in the program? And Disney perks, do I really get into the parks for free? So the first one of those talks about general arrival information that I already knew mostly. It's arrival information, which we went about last podcast. Traveling to make sure you get to where you're supposed to go on time. Arriving with family, what to wear for arrival day. This is all basic stuff that I'm pretty sure I covered. It's really nice when you arrive, you can wear really comfortable stuff because they know that you're moving. So t-shirts and jeans is totally fine. And then at the bottom, it tells you what you're going to go through arrival week and the days following arrival. And what's different for Disneyland as opposed to Disney World is that there is a Disney College Program orientation in California. And this is going to happen before traditions. So day two or three, it says you're going to have this orientation. And they're going to talk to you about your experience and what to expect. And you're going to meet a housing team and education instructors. And there's going to be a career fair at the end, which is cool. I'm glad that there's a career fair. It says you can learn about commuter assistance program, professional internships, Disney volunteers, diversity groups, blah, blah, blah. So that's going to happen all before traditions, which means you're going to be stuck. I mean, I'm going to be stuck. And they're probably going to be pretty boring. So I'm going to be doing program orientations before traditions, which is like the working orientation. And then it's not until your traditions orientation that you are able to actually go into the parks. Because that's when you receive your blue ID, which is your entrance pass. This is kind of frustrating. I don't know if any of you keep up on a lot of the Disney news that's going on, but it just came out about a week or two ago that the Haunted Mansion is going to be closing for at least probably 2 month long refurbishment. And the closing date is January 21st. So it's open the 20th and then closes the 21st. And I'm getting there the 12th, but I won't have my blue ID until day 4 or 5, so we're thinking day 16 or 17. But all of the cast members are blocked out of Disneyland the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th of January because of the opening of Rise of the Resistance. So I may get my entrance pass the 16th or the 17th, and if I get it the 16th, I'll be able to go into the parks for one afternoon after traditions, and that's it, before it closes to me 17th to the 20th, and then the Haunted Mansion is closed the 21st. So I'll either have one day to ride the Haunted Mansion holiday, or I'll have no days to ride the Haunted Mansion, and I won't be able to ride it until March or April, when their refurbishment is done. Which sucks. It super sucks. The Haunted Mansion is, like, my favorite ride next to the Matterhorn. They're my number ones. They're a team. And I cannot believe that on my DCP, one, it closes for 2 months. That sucks, just in general. And two, that I might not even get to ride it the first week I'm there, and I might have to wait 2 months to even ride it. Which sucks. It sucks. So we're just going to have to see. I don't know when I'm going to get my, like, arrival week schedule. It says here arrival week, under it is the Disney tradition schedule. So I might not know when my traditions is until I get there. I do know that you get some sort of itinerary before you arrive, and that's what's going to have your work location in it and some other stuff. But I don't know the details of what it's going to tell you about your first week or so. So, yeah, I may or may not get to ride the Haunted Mansion until a couple months after, which sucks. It sucks. But there's honestly nothing I can do about it, except if I'm don't work or have training the 17th, 18th, 19th, or 20th, I could buy a regular one-day pass, which is expensive, but also might be worth it, especially since Rise of the Resistance is opening, and it would be really cool to be a part of that hullabaloo. You know, I mean, it's like a giant historic event. I've never been at a Disney park when a new ride is opening. Nevertheless, it being such a big anticipated ride, it's not like I was there for the opening of Emotional Whirlwind. Wow! But I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't decided because I don't know what kind of schedule I'm going to have. And I don't even know if I'll be able to get in or not before the 17th. So we'll see. Also on this email, they give you another link and it talks about your work schedule. And I want to highlight this because I think it's hilarious. And it solidifies my decision to go to Disneyland as opposed to Walt Disney World. So this is, your work schedule. That's what it's titled as. And it says, Disneyland Resort. Throughout the duration of your program, you will be participating in Disney education courses as well as working an average of 28 to 32 hours per week. 28 to 32 hours. That's not very much at all. Like, honestly, if I was working 28 hours a week, I'd probably get bored. That's, like, I would rather work 35 or 40 hours a week, one, for paycheck amounts, and two, because that's what I'm going down there for. And I think the more time I spend in the parks, the more chance I'll spend more money, which is bad. So I need to work more and play less, because if I do the opposite, I'm going to have a really hard time sticking to the budget that I'm planning to stick to. Anyway, so it says, work hours can vary depending on seasonality and business need. You're expected to be fully available, and your shift time may fall any time on any day, which we all know. But for Walt Disney World, during the program, you may be scheduled 30 to 50 hours per week during non-peak periods and may have hours exceeding 50 hours per week during certain program arrival periods. So me at Disneyland, my top hourly right here says 32. They can exceed 50. I might be working 30 hours a week and somebody else could be working 55 at Disney World. That's 25 extra hours compared to me. That's insane. The most I've ever worked is a 40-hour work week, and almost that is completely mind-numbing depending on where you work. But I cannot imagine working 55 hours a week and still having time to sleep and, you know, go grocery shopping and prepare your meals and enjoy your life. That's insane. That's insane. That's probably the biggest thing that made me not want to do Walt Disney World was just the hours seemed incredibly painful, and I was not interested. It also says, so if you are enrolled in some of the Disney education courses in Walt Disney World, which you don't have to at Walt Disney World, it's your choice, you can only be scheduled for 30 to 45 hours per week. So Oh, but during peak periods, you may be scheduled more than 45. So honestly, I don't really think they care about your sanity at Walt Disney World. I just think they need bodies in the parks, and that's what's going to happen. So anyway, thank goodness I'm doing Disneyland, because that sounds incredibly stressful to work that much. And I think if I worked that much, I wouldn't, like, all of the enjoyment of being by a Disney park would kind of be for naught, because you'd be working so much, you'll be so tired, and trying to go and enjoy the parks after a 12-hour work shift probably doesn't work very well. Yeah. Also on this page is pay information. Pay period a week spans Sunday through Saturday. Paychecks issued every Thursday, which I already knew, and that's totally fine. You can get, this is interesting, a payroll card. So you can get your paycheck either on a payroll card or direct deposit. And the payroll card is seems just kind of like a debit card. And it just, all of your paychecks go straight to it, which I think would be really odd to have a separate kind of bank account for your paychecks, because I don't know, if you are paying for Disney Plus or a car payment and it comes out of your regular checking account, you wouldn't want all your paycheck money to be on a payroll card. I don't know, that's odd. So, or you can do direct deposit, which is the route I'm definitely going to go. And then another thing to keep in mind if you're going to do the program, bring extra cash. Due to our pay schedule, you may not receive your first check into 2 to 3 weeks after arrival and check-in. That's normal for pretty much every job you start. Luckily for Disneyland, I've already paid my first, I think, 3 weeks, month, yeah, 3 weeks of rent in advance, so I don't have to worry about paying for rent until I start getting paychecks. It says you will need money to purchase food and appropriate shoes for your work location's costume. They recommend bringing $300 to $400, so I've already have that saved up because I knew I would need extra money for moving and everything, so I have that. I'm not super worried about it. I can always go the super cheap route with food and necessities until I start getting paychecks. I think something I need to keep in mind would be things that need to be bought for the apartment, like shower curtains, bath mats, toiletries, paper towels, stuff like that. But I think a split between 4 other roommates, it won't be too big of a hit to the wallet. There are some additional benefits it lists for being a Disney cast member, but none of them are really exciting. Discounts at select Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort hotels, which is cool. I already knew about that. Disney Cruise Line discounts. Sneak peeks of new attractions, parks, and resorts. I don't think I'll really get a lot of that unless the new Marvel Land in DCA opens by the time before I leave. We don't know. There's no arrival, opening date yet. Wow, a credit union membership. That's exciting. Wellness program, sure. Health fairs and seminars, cool. Educational opportunities, we know about that. And it says new e-learning opportunities, so I guess they're offering online classes, which I might be interested in because I really hate going to classes. I think it's kind of a waste of time. A lot of the classes I had in college, the stuff you learned in class could have been learned online much easier. But yeah, I'm going to talk about this a little later, but I am really excited about the classes because we're required to do them at Disneyland, so I might as well be excited for them because I'm going to be forced to do them. And since I have a communications major, I think a lot of them will be geared towards me because communication stuff is a big part of the Disney company because they have to brand and they have so many different parts of the organization that have to work together. So I really do think that those classes will be helpful for me, as opposed to someone who has maybe a science degree or a teaching degree, it wouldn't be as applicable. And I really think that they will be helpful on my resume specifically because of my PR degree. Second thing I want to talk about, it did show on that email the traditions attire, which a lot of people freak out about. They do not know what to wear to traditions, which I think is hilarious because it's literally just business casual. And whatever you wear to a job interview, that should be fine for traditions. But for some reason, there are so many videos on YouTube of what you can wear to traditions and what you can't wear to traditions and what other people wore to traditions, and people are so stressed about it. But basically, it's just business casual, wear a nice pair of slacks or pants or a skirt, and then wear a blouse and a blazer, you know, something professional. The one thing I would note that I've seen other people talk about is to definitely wear professional shoes, but also comfortable shoes, because part of traditions is walking around. I think it would either be Magic Kingdom or Disneyland. So don't wear heels that you can't wear and walk around in for a couple of hours, because that would be rough. So the guidelines for traditions attire or business casual attire, and this is the stuff that you're also supposed to wear to all of the classes you go to. It just says business casual attire that is professional, clean, and respectful. Then it's cover up your tattoos, clean your fingernails, your hair color should not be crazy, your hairstyle should not be crazy, and your jewelry should not be crazy. But it doesn't really tell you anything specific about the business casual other than business casual. No t-shirts, shorts, or flip-flops. Yeah. And for the men, it goes a little bit more into detail about facial hair. Let's see. They need to look professional. Your beards and your goatees and your mustaches. They must be fully grown in, neatly groomed, and well-maintained at a quarter inch in length. Wow. Do the men, like, put rulers up to their beards to figure that out? Will Disney come at all the men with beards with a ruler and check? Probably not. Probably not. Yeah. Okay. So that's it for that. Really simple. I'm not worried about that at all. Now we're going to talk about something that I am pissed about. I'm so mad. Okay, part of the reason I'm so mad is that I just kind of figured this out through this email. I did not know until like 5 minutes before I started this recording. So everybody knows that when you're a cast member and you're doing your college program, you get guest passes. And these guest passes for Disneyland are good for 3 people at a time, and you get 16 of them. So 16 by 3, what is that? 30, 48? 48? That's enough guest passes to get 48 people into the Disney parks. But here is the thing. If you go to the Blockout Dates website, it's blockoutdates.disney.com. Yeah, you go there and you select. So for Disney cast members, we get Disneyland cast members, you get main entrance passes. So if you click main entrance passes for selecting your pass, and then you select Disneyland and California Adventure, oh my gosh, the blockouts are horrible. Horrible. It shows 4 months, so December through March of, you know, this year and 2020. And all but two, there are 2 weekends in January where California Adventure is not blocked. Other than that, both parks, Disneyland and Disney California Adventure, every weekend is blocked. All of them. Through March. And let me count. Okay. So it shows red, yellow, and green, right? Red means nobody can get into either park. The guest passes are not good at either park. And that's pretty much every weekend, plus most Fridays. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, kaput. Nothing. And then there's yellow. And yellow means that one of the parks is open to you and the other park is not. And in this case, it's always California Adventure is open and Disneyland is not. And that is pretty much almost every day. January, because of Rise of the Resistance, none of your guests will be able to get in with a guest pass to Disneyland in January. You just can't. The number of days in February that your people can go into either California Adventure and Disneyland, it's green. 9. 9 days out of February they can get in. Every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday, blocked. Some Mondays, completely blocked. It's crazy. The number of green days in March, meaning that your guests can get into either Disneyland or California Adventure, 7. 7 out of the 31 days can your guests get in to the parks. And then the other days are Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, red. And then the last half of March, if it's during the week, Disneyland is closed to them, it's yellow. So the first 3 full months I'm going to be there, there are only 16 days that my guests could get into either park. And I think that's just ridiculous. It's so stupid. Why would they give you these passes? Why would they treat you, you know, why would they treat their cast members like this? That they give you these passes and they say, yes, you're going to be able to get up to 48 people in for free. That's amazing. This is such a perk. And then they block out, like, I don't even know. What's 9 and 7? What's 16 out of 90? That's it. 16 out of 90 days, your guests can get into Disneyland and California Adventure. This really sucks. It really, really sucks. And I think another thing that really sucks about it is that you can only see 4 months. So I can't see April yet. And my parents were planning on coming in April for a week during spring break. Their spring break, because my dad's a teacher. But the second half of March is totally closed off. And I'm guessing that April is also going to be almost completely closed off because of spring break, judging by the way that March looks. So I'm going to have to tell them that they can either get into only DCA or they can't get in at all. I mean, I don't even know yet. They can't even plan their dates because I don't know yet. And I just think that's really sucky. And it's not something that they advertise. They don't advertise the blockout dates. They don't say, yeah, you can get these guest passes, but you should probably look at these blockout dates because they're so all-encompassing. And, I mean, if you have anybody visit for a weekend, just a weekend, they can't go to the parks. It's not going to happen. And I'm really upset about this. A lot of the reason why is because I told so many people that, hey, I'm going to have these guest passes. I would love if you would come. And part of the reason why they're going to be able to come and enjoy a Disney vacation with me is because I'm able to pay for their park tickets, because that's $300 or $400 they're saving on their vacation, because I am able to cover them for that. But now they're either going to have to plan super specifically for 2 months in February and 2 months in March, and maybe even nothing in April, we don't know. And then I'm guessing when summer gets here, June and July, I figure that those are going to be closed off too. So I don't know if the people that were going to come and visit me are now going to be able to come and visit me because of these blockout dates. And that just really sucks, because, you know, those visits are probably what were going to help me get through it, because I don't know anybody down there, and I know I'm going to have roommates, but it's not really the same as family and friends, and it just really sucks. So definitely something you should keep in mind, because I did not know until 10 minutes ago that these were so, I knew there would be some blockout dates, but I didn't know they were so bad. Like, so, so bad. Yeah, and that's how it is. Luckily, when you click, you can click to see lots of different passes, employee passes, the main entrance pass, the one-day park hopper guest ticket, which is what Disney World cast members get, hospitality day passes, Disney Family Holiday Celebration passes. I don't really know what those are. But the employee self-admission is really, really good. And so far, the only thing I can look at that I'm going to be blocked out of is the 17th to the 20th of January. The last weekend in December, week of December, is closed to cast members, but that's obviously because of Christmas. So that's not a big deal, because I'm not even going to be down there. But my passes look great. I'm going to be able to get in probably no problem. My family, I do not know. If you're hearing a little song in the background, it's because there's a clock going off. And it makes a little noise every hour. And it's really pleasant. But I thought when I sat down here, we would have issue with that, because I knew I would run through the hour. But oh well. It's okay. Everything's fine. Stupid blockout dates. The other thing I want to talk about before I get to a little topic I've created is a little bit more on the custodial costumes that I'm going to be wearing. Most people know that Disney custodial, you pretty much just wear white. You wear a white shirt, white pants, a belt, black shoes, boom, you're good. But Accidentally, I was watching a Disneyland video, and the person I was watching was walking through Toontown, and there were two cast members holding brooms and dustpans, which, duh, those are custodial cast members, and they were in full Toontown garb. They were in, like, a bright purple jacket and, you know, crazy colored pants and striped shirt. And I had always thought, except for Galaxy's Edge, that cast members who were custodial wore white, and that was what you got to wear. But me seeing Toontown, what looks like custodial cast members in Toontown garb, makes me think that that's not true. I haven't found anything else that talks about that, but I saw it in the back of a video, and I was like, they're not wearing white. And the worst thing about custodial to me is not the garbage, it's not the vomit, it's the costumes. I want to wear pretty Disney costumes. And those Toontown ones looked so cool. And I'm praying to the God above that they're, like, maybe you get to choose between wearing the white custodial or wearing just general land uniforms. Because each land kind of has regular, like, the people who do food carts and, like, outside merchandising and stuff like that, I think they have pretty specific, not specific, pretty general costumes that they get to wear and kind of put together. They have different, like, outfit parts that they get to do, and I'm thinking maybe that custodial cast members get to do that too, but I'm not sure because I only saw those two Toontown cast members, and they were holding brooms and they were holding dustpans. So that makes me think they are custodial, but it's not like the person on the video stopped and talked to them because they did not care about the custodial cast members when they were doing their video. Anyway, so that is really cool. I was able to find an article about, stupid cat is playing with the blind thing. An article about different types or, like, different configurations of the custodial cast member garb that you get to wear. So, it says, and I think this is someone that was a custodial cast member, made up of white pants or shorts, white shirt, a maroon belt, so a dark red belt, and a custodial pouch and black shoes, which I all knew. But it says here, accessories that can be added include a maroon custodial sweater, a blue Disney jacket, a maroon custodial cap, which I've seen looks like a baseball hat, a tan sun hat, I've also seen those on some, a black scarf and mittens, or a white long sleeve shirt worn underneath. So, it looks like I might be able to get some sort of variety. The maroon sweater, I'm into that. The sun hat, the tan sun hat, for sure. I think I'm going to be wearing that if I can get one pretty much all the time, because one, it's going to be super hot and I get a sunburn so bad because I'm so white, and two, because it just sounds really fun to wear. It says all parts of custodial uniform are provided to each cast member from the costuming department. So I'm hoping that I might be able to get one of each of those things and I'll get to kind of choose, so I won't have to wear white every day. But, I mean, I guess the custodial sweater would be really hot, and the blue Disney jacket might get hot. But if I'm starting in January, then maybe for at least 3 months I can wear them before it gets too hot to function without short sleeves on. It also says, it has its own little section for shoes. It says, custodial shoes are supplied by the costuming department, which I thought might be the case. I wasn't super sure. But that's super nice, so I don't have to worry about buying shoes, I don't think. Which is nice, because, like, I was going to get a really nice Nike black walking pair of shoes, but those are expensive. Nice shoes are really expensive, so that's good. Another thing that I just wanted to highlight on this Disney custodial thread type of thing is they have this picture of Main Street, and it's pouring down rain. And this custodial cast member is switching out the garbages, and they're covered in, like, a rain poncho. But, oh my gosh, that looks horrible. Like, I'm gonna have to... And, I mean, luckily it doesn't pour in California all the time like it does in Florida. Like, their monsoon season, which is usually summertime, is horrible. And it downpours at least pretty much once a day in the parks at Disney World, but California is much drier. But still, I mean, there are going to be days where it is pouring down rain and I'm going to have to be working outside for like 6 hours. My shoes are probably going to get soaked. Ugh, it's a vision of the future, that picture. And I just, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about it now. So yeah, those are all the new things that I've kind of learned through the email that I got. And oh my gosh, the blockout dates. Like, I cannot emphasize enough how much those suck. And oh my gosh, if you value your cast members, give them something that they can actually use. Because who wants to visit Disneyland and only get into Disney California Adventure? Who wants to not be able to see the castle during I'm just going to have to move on because I can't do it. Okay, so for the little topic I've created, I'm less than a month away, and I'm a mixture of, like, super excited, obviously, super pumped, and absolutely terrified. Oh my gosh, terrified. So I've listed the top three reasons why I'm excited, and then the top three reasons why I'm terrified. So I can put them into words, and then maybe you can find solace. And maybe you're doing it too and you're terrified about the same things, or maybe you're thinking about it and maybe one of these things that you're terrified of might be a deal breaker for you. I don't know. There are things that I definitely thought about before applying. It's not like something I learned about and now I regret being accepted or anything. But anyway, so the number third reason, these are kind of in order of most excited to least excited. So we'll start with least excited and least terrified and get up to the best ones at the end. So number three, reason why I'm excited. Actually, I'm really excited about the classes that I'm going to be able to take. You know, being someone who pretty much just finished college, I am using the internship as internship credits for my degree. But other than that, I don't have to take any more like online classes or take a quarter after the college program, I'm done. So these are probably the last types of classes I will ever take in my life. Probably. I don't plan on going back to grad school or getting a master's or a PhD or blah, 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 blah. And they're Disney classes. So I'm guessing they're actually going to be super insightful and are going to give me information that I can use in my degree, because I talked to you earlier about how a lot of them are communications based. And one cool thing about these types of classes is that they also offer networking opportunities. And being someone who has just finished college and is kind of going to be thrown into the real world after the college program, the idea of finding, you know, a job that I like and that works with my degree and that gives me enough money to, you know, survive and start paying off my student loans, I think these networking opportunities are going to be great for me to be able to maybe find employment after the college program, or the, you know, education that I'm going to get from these classes I can throw onto my resume, and, you know, it might help me find a job, and someone might look and see that I've done the Walt Disney Company communications classes, and that's going to put me a step above another applicant who hasn't. So I'm excited that it might create less stress for me because of the experience I'm going to gain through those classes. Because I don't know where you are in your life, but as someone who has been doing school their entire life and has been pretty good at school, it's a really scary thought that I'm going to have to leave that type of environment and move into a fully professional one, just because it's not something I've ever done. I've never not done school. So it's kind of nice that the college program will have school, so it's kind of like a transitioning period. While I'll be working more than doing school, but I'll still be doing it, and it won't be a complete harsh line of school's over and work has begun. And it's also just going to give me a lot of, hopefully, good information and some opportunities to meet a lot of people in my career field. Number three of what I'm scared of, I would say number three would be making mistakes on the job. I've had multiple new jobs. I've had two jobs, so I've been new to them both, and I have definitely made mistakes in them, and it usually takes me, I would say, 2 or 3 months to feel comfortable in the job that I'm doing and confident that the choices I'm making in that job are the correct ones, just because it takes so much experience in a job for me to feel like, oh, okay, I know what to do in all types of situations. And I feel like being a Disneyland cast member, especially custodial, because you have so much free range and you don't really have a supervisor next to you or other cast members next to you all the time, I don't know how much opportunity I will have to ask questions. And I know that there's on-the-job training, so I will be working with someone who's already a custodial cast member for the first couple of days so they can show me how to do everything, which is great. And that's going to be awesome. But those first couple of days of just being on my own and not, you know, not having someone to turn around and be like, hey, is this right? You know, clarification, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm going to have to make those decisions on my own. And that's really scary. And I don't, making mistakes, I feel, is such a big deal when you're in a Disney park, because these mistakes could, you know, negatively affect someone's vacation that they spent so much, you know, money on, or it could break the magic for them. I don't know what types of mistakes, you know, my mind just goes into a deep, dark hole of, I don't know, I don't clean a toilet right, and then they, you know, they use it and then they get infected with something because I didn't disinfect. I don't know. I'm just terrified of making mistakes, or someone comes up and asks me a question and I'm not sure of the answer, but I'm pretty sure. So I give it them the answer and then it's wrong. And then they find me and they're like, you didn't tell me. You told me where this was incorrectly and I got lost and we wasted so much time. And oh my gosh, that just sounds like horrible to me, because Disney vacations should be, you know, perfect, and I should be perfect because I'm a Disneyland cast member and I should know what to do. And oh, I'm terrified of making mistakes and it hindering someone's vacation, or it causes me to get chewed out by a supervisor. And I just hope that the on-the-job training is thorough enough and that I make sure to ask so many questions so I know exactly what to do in all the situations. Luckily, we get like a radio that tells us if we need to do stuff and if things are full, and maybe there's someone I can ask on that radio questions. I don't know yet. That's the hope. Anyway, my number 3, terrified of making mistakes. Number 2 thing that I'm excited about is closing the parks. So people who do Disney vacations, and I'm someone who does, my family does them really try hard. We will rope drop to park close all day, and it can be really just painful because you don't get enough sleep and your feet hurt, but you have to go because you only have 3 days to get through 2 parks, and it's just a really stressful time. But since I'm gonna be there and my blockout dates aren't bad, my family's are horrible, but mine aren't, so I'm gonna be able to close the parks. And closing the parks as in not leaving right after the park closes, because the park will close, say Disneyland closes at midnight, but like they have to go through all the ride lines. Say if you get in line for Pirates of the Caribbean at 11:58 and it has a 45 minute wait, they can't ask you to leave the line. Like you're in line, so they have to get through the line, and that's when they're done. So the park closes at midnight, meaning you have to stop getting on rides at midnight, and the, like, restaurants are all closed, but you can still be in the parks. And this isn't something I've ever done while on vacation in Disneyland or Disney World, because usually after midnight we've been in the parks for 12 plus hours and we're so tired, and so we leave. We like get in a line, we get through the line, and then we leave. But since I'll be able to, you know, go slow, and maybe I have a 6-hour shift that ends at 11, and then I'll, you know, have time to kind of walk around, I'll get to enjoy the empty parts of the park, because a lot of people, most people do filter out after the park closes, or they're in a line, so all the walkways and the hub area, they become really deserted, and it makes it, I think, especially gorgeous to be able to see parts of the park without a whole bunch of people in them. And I'm really excited to just enjoy and walk around and sit on a bench and it's dark and all the lights are on and the music is still playing, but you can hear it really well because there aren't 10 million people talking and screaming and running. So I'm really excited to enjoy the parks in that way. I have a friend who does lots of photography, and that's when he uses that time to do photographs, because you can get really great ones when there's no people in the way. And I've never really done photography, but it's something I'm kind of interested in going to the parks, because I'm going to have so much access to them. I don't know. It just seems really peaceful. And it's not something I've ever thought about while on vacation there, because when it hits midnight, I'm exhausted. But if I don't go to the parks until 1 or 2 that day, it's something I'll be able to do. Yeah, and I'm really excited about that. Number 2, terrified of, would be loneliness. Definitely something at the top of my list, especially seeing now the blockout dates, that might prohibit some of my family coming down, because there's really no point in spending, I don't know, $600 on a hotel, but then not being able to go to the parks with me. Like, it's kind of a bore, like, it's a visit and not, like, a vacation, and I don't want it to be like that for them. I want it to be fun, and I want them to be able to go in the Disney parks, because that's what those comp tickets are for. Deep breaths. So, yeah, I'm really scared of being lonely. I'm gonna have 4 other roommates, and I know that, and they seem like great people. I've talked to them, I know who they are, we, are linked up in the system, but, you know, they're new people, and it takes me a while to warm up to new people, and, you know, at the job I just finished at a preschool, it took me probably like 3 or 4 months before I really formed any type of friendship with my coworkers. I don't know, I just get really nervous around new people, and I feel like the first couple of months, I'm not gonna have anybody super solid to, like, go to the parks with after work, or go to Magic Mountain, or, you know, I'm scared that I'm gonna be lonely, okay? I've never moved more than 2 hours away from my parents and my family and my boyfriend, and now I'm leaving everybody behind for this job that hopefully is, I mean, I'm sure the job won't be horrible, because depending on where I'm placed in the parks, I don't know. But yeah, I'm just scared that I'm going to be lonely, and there are going to be a lot of days where I'm sitting in bed and feeling sorry for myself because I don't have anybody. Wow, that's really a downer, isn't it? Okay, on to the thing I'm most excited for. Wow, most excited for. Okay, so I have bought a Magic Mountain season pass, and if you don't know what Magic Mountain is, it's at Six Flags Park. That's like an hour away from where I'm going to be living, and they have some super legit roller coasters, and I'm also planning on buying a Universal season pass, which I looked up, and it's the basic pass, which is pretty much the only thing I need, because I looked at the blockout dates, and they're really not horrible. The upgraded passes just have, like, discounts and perks and stuff like that, but it's only $144 for a Universal Studios Hollywood season pass, so I'm planning on buying one of those after Christmas, depending on how much Christmas money I get, or maybe after I get up there and I make sure that I didn't need all the money I saved for moving in, I'll buy it then. But I'm super excited to be able to go to these two parks as well. Where I live, in the, you know, Pacific Northwest, Washington area, there really isn't a good theme park close by. There's a park called Wild Waves, which is really pathetic when you compare it to either of these three parks, Universal, Magic Mountain, or the Disneyland parks. It's just pathetic, and it's dirty, and their rides are not good or themed well. So that's it's not even a theme park, it's like an amusement park that's gross. And then the closest one apart from that would be Silverwood, which is in Idaho, and it's okay. It's alright. They have like 2 pretty good roller coasters, but the theming, again, not very good. Comparatively to these three parks, crap. And I have never, because I've lived in Washington all my life, lived close to a really good theme park. And now I'm going to live close to three theme parks that I think are really, really good. And I'm going to have access to them. And I am so excited. I know some of my roommates already have a Magic Mountain pass, and I think some of them are also thinking about getting a Universal pass. So I'm really excited to have people to go with me to those. But also, I'm so not against just a me trip. Like, that's not something I'm going to shy away from just because I'm scared of going alone. There's a difference between loneliness and going alone. Like, sometimes I just love a good me time. And if I get to go to Universal Studios by myself, then I get to pick what I go on. And I can do what I want. And I can rest when I want. And if I go to Magic Mountain, I can go on the same roller coaster 3 times because it's my favorite one. And I'm just super pumped about that. That's something that I'm definitely going to take advantage of, especially 28 to 32 hours a week. What? And I've also heard that most shifts are only 6 hours. So 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. So those days before or after my shifts, I can go to Disneyland. And then my 2 days off, I can go to Universal or Magic Mountain. That's legit. That is legit. And hopefully the theme parks will keep me from being lonely because I'll have them. I have theme parks. And that's all I'll have. Anyway, I'm most excited about that. Just living close to theme parks. And I mean, Disneyland, perfect. I mean, I would be happy with just Disneyland. But with the inclusion of Universal and Magic Mountain and them not being that expensive, the Magic Mountain pass, I think it ended up being $109, but I'm paying it monthly. So I've already paid for like 4 months of it. So it's going to be like $10 a month to my bank account to go to Magic Mountain. And then Universal is $144 one time. And I mean, that's so worth it going. If I go twice, it'll be super worth it. So that's my number one most excited for. My number one top terrified of is simple. It not being worth it. I took a long time weighing all of my options, weighing, you know, moving away from family, leaving my cats behind, you know, not being close to friends and family, moving to a new place and it being terrifying and living with a lot of roommates, which could be horrible and could not be horrible. Don't know yet. And I weighed it against, you know, going to Disneyland for free and having this new job opportunity and having these cool classes that I can learn from. And, you know, I decided that I thought that the opportunity and the experience would be worth leaving everybody I know behind. And that's what I decided, and that's why I applied, and that's why I'm going. But I could be down there for a month and kind of settle into things and realize that maybe it's not worth it and realize that I miss my boyfriend so much that I'm not having fun on my days off at the parks, or the job isn't actually that fun and picking up garbage is actually horrible for 6 hours and it's not worth the magical moments I get to create, or maybe I'm put in a part of the park that I don't like, which wouldn't really happen, or maybe I would be put in a resort to do custodial and that would be less fun than working in the parks, and then I'm not having as much fun at work than I thought I would, and, you know, maybe also I don't work enough hours and it's really hard for me to pay rent, and I'm having a really hard time budgeting correctly, and it becomes a big fiasco with money. I mean, who knows? I'm terrified that it might not be worth it. And then I'll be down there for 3 months and I'll think, oh my gosh, this was a mistake and I want to go home and I don't want to be here anymore. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely probably a very small chance because of the pros. There are a lot of pros. I mean, the parks, the job opportunity, education, blah, 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 blah. But there are also a lot of cons, and it mostly includes leaving a lot of people that I love and the threat of being lonely. And yeah, the Disneyland program isn't something that you can run away from. Walt Disney World, you can go down there and you can self-term, which means you can quit and you can move back to where you're from. And there really isn't any cons that come from that. You don't really get to, like, say you finished the program, like you completed it. But other than that, you're fine. The Disneyland one, if you choose to term, to quit and move back, you are responsible for the rest of the rent that you would have been paying had you been there. So if I was having a horrible time and left in March, then I would have to pay for April rent, May rent, June rent, July rent, like, for, you know, the rest of the rent that you were supposed to be making on your program, you have to pay it still. And I don't know if that's, like, a lump sum or a monthly thing. It might be a lump sum. But, I mean, honestly, that's not something I could afford. So, part of the fear and the terror of it not being worth it is that if it's not worth it and I decide that, it doesn't matter. I'm stuck there. I'm not willing to leave and have to pay $3,000 for rent, you know? That's just not a smart adult decision. So, yeah. It not being worth it. It's a terrifying thought. And it's too late now to go back. Anyway, that's what I have for you guys today. If you made it this far, oh my gosh, it's been 50 minutes. Thank you so much for listening. Most likely you will hear from me early January, because that's when we should be receiving our arrival itinerary. And hopefully it will have where I'm working, my work location. And that is a huge thing for me. I'm hoping anywhere in Disneyland would be amazing. Pretty much anywhere in DCA would be cool too, but I'm hoping for Disneyland, but we will see. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any questions, I have an email, michaelaphillipsdcp@yahoo.com. You can always email me and I will answer them. And if you maybe have questions of like what the actual program is like, you can send them. And then once I get there and I have your answers, I will tell you. So yeah, if you have a question, but you don't think I know yet, but I will later, feel free to send them and I will totally get back to them. There's no worries. No worries on that. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas, because I probably won't talk to you until after that. So yeah, have a happy holidays, everybody.